music
to keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no, not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. We got Fliegelman. Nick still hanging out for a bit. Let's go. Game one. Second verse, same as the first. I mean, can we? These games, I can't take it. I can't live like this. It's unbelievable. Every game comes down to the final moments. Every game, they're down 10 at some point. I know it was 9 in this game. I mean, it's just every game they need every single point that Jalen Brunson gives them. Every single game hangs on the balance of a call. Every single game. It's unbelievable. How fun are these Knicks? And it's fun while they win. That's for sure. It's fun while they win, and they did. Last night, 121-117, they take one from the Indiana Pacers. And, I mean, I kind of feel, before we get into all the ins and outs of everything that happened, I got to be honest. My initial thought, and again, I literally, because I live so far away, the game ended, I literally got in my car, I just got here. I mean, the feeling I have after game one is very similar to the feeling I had after game one of the Philadelphia series. And that is, if the Pacers can't win this one, how are they going to beat the Knicks? Because this was an opportunity. Let's be honest. The Pacers, for most of this game, were the better team. The Pacers, for most of this game, controlled the tempo. The Pacers, for most of this game, played it the way they wanted to play. The Pacers, for most of this game, got to the basket at will. Did exactly what they wanted to do. TJ McConnell, would, you know, 18 points, he was getting to the rim at will. How many times did they have pick and rolls and get the advantage and have, you know, Siakam under the basket with I don't know, Jalen Brunson on him for an easy basket? Turner's, his ability to shoot and be open at the top of the key for a big man to shoot the three, the athleticism that caused the Knicks all kinds of problems, and height and length, especially on the side out of bounds plays late in the game and the double teams on Jalen Brunson. I mean, this team provided a big-time matchup problem that if you could look at it two ways, and I'll choose to do the former because that's who I am as a Knicks fan. That's how it worked out against Philadelphia, and that's how I see it now. I don't know. I trust this Knicks team. I still think they're the better basketball team, and if the Pacers can't win when almost every advantage except having Jalen Brunson, if they can't win this game, what game can they win? Now, I'm not saying that means the Knicks are going to sweep, but this was the opportunity for the Pacers to come into game one and steal one, because I don't think the Knicks played very well, to be quite honest with you. They do what they do. They make the big plays in the big moments, and we'll get to the foul, and everybody shut up. Let's just start right there. Oh, but if this was the other team, can you imagine if this call went against the Knicks? It didn't. And if I cried about it, you would say the same thing I'll say to you. Ah, shut up. It's the NBA. Calls go against you. Calls go for you. It was an illegal screen. And if it weren't for Van Gundy screaming that it's never called and talking about DiVincenzo's acting ability and comparing him to a Broadway play and a Broadway actor, maybe we wouldn't have such a problem with it. Is it an is it a different call? Yes. Is it one I expected to see? No. But it was called Nanny Nanny Poo Poo, as I like to say. But if the, but we'll get to that as we get through the show here. 877-337-6666. But the story for me is two players. I mean, there's a couple of different things, but two players for me, because yes, Jalen Brunson's unbelievable. Another 40-point performance. He scores 43 points. He's perfect from the foul line, which is 14 for 14, and including clutch ones down the stretch, which was a problem for him and really the entire Knick team against Philadelphia. But he scores 43 points. He hits one three-pointer. Yes, 14 points from the foul line. But he was getting, and they talk about it on the broadcast, how many points the Pacers allow all year long from the paint and how many they score from the paint. This game is going to be played a lot more inside the three-point line than the Philadelphia series was. You could literally look at that three-point, that Philadelphia series, and take all away the antics, the heroics, the failures, the big plays. Take it all away. It's who hit their threes. You could break it down to that. This series is going to be different. Threes will always play a role. It's 2024 in the NBA. But the ability for both of these teams to score inside the paint is going to be a huge, huge deciding factor in how this series gets played. And for me, obviously it's Jalen Brunson, how incredible he is, his ability to get to the paint, his ability to get, you know, from all different angles off the backboard, his ability to create space as an undersized player and still get the amount of paint points he does as someone who's 6'2". In today's NBA, it's remarkable. Watching him is, he starts off the game hitting the first shot. He was the one keeping them close early on. And I for 3.5 quarters, I thought the Pacers had the better of the play. I really did. And then the other player, because Jalen Brunson's obvious, and we could do superlatives and talk about Jalen Brunson all game long. Josh Hart in this game, let's be honest, besides Jalen Brunson, what was the offense of the New York Knicks? You know what the offense of the New York Knicks was? Hart getting a rebound and taking it to the basket across the court. His transition offense, his fast break offense, was the offense for a stretch in this game. His ability to take a rebound and run down the court and get to the basket or facilitate off of his drive was the Knick offense for a lot of this game, because Brunson scores 21 of his 43 in the fourth quarter. And he kind of scored early on. There's that time in the second and third quarter where really the Pacers, as they go up 9 at one point in the fourth, but like they were having the better of the play. Their offense was moving. Their offense looked to be doing what it wanted to do. And the Knicks were stale. And other than Hart's ability to take the ball from one end to the other, I don't know what much offense they really had or what game plan they really had. Josh Hart and his offensive ability in this game and controlling the ball, and then his offensive rebounding. Now, he only has 5 in this game. It felt like 15. He's got 4 offensive rebounds in this game. It felt like 14. His ability to figure out how to get his body as an undersized, as a guard, his ability to poke the ball up in the air, his ability to, again, get that second slap at it and send it back out to the top of the key, his offensive rebounding, his ability to take the ball up the court and give Brunson a break, his ability to straight off a rebound create speed and instant offense and transition offense were as important in this game as the 43 points from Jalen Brunson. I thought Josh Hart was an enormous factor in this game. Enormous. And then another turning point in the fourth quarter for me was also Ananobi's defense all game really didn't play. And we talked about who he was going to guard. You know the different elements that this team provides. And obviously the bench scoring. I mean, and we'll get to it because it's going to be a major talking point. And they kept showing it. Hey, TNT, here's a clue. The Knicks don't play their bench. I know we could talk about that, and that's a major talking point moving forward and how Tibbs is going to handle it. It was a talking point heading in. But stop showing me. Just show me how many bench points that the Pacers score, because we know the Knicks aren't scoring bench points. They have three bench guys, and two of them don't shoot or score. Two of them are defenders. And if McBride doesn't come in and hit three-pointers, he's got an extremely short leash with him. He's in there for a few moments. If he misses a shot, he's out of the game. We understand what's going on here. Stop showing me the disparity in bench points. We get it. It's two different teams playing two different games with two different head coaches, going about it two different ways. It's a tie game. I don't care what the show me the disparity in starting points then. Like, it was annoying because it's sort of a key talking point about how the Knicks are going to go moving forward. It really doesn't matter. It didn't impact the game that much there where the points come from. The Knicks aren't playing their bench. Just put that in the top scroll. Knicks don't play bench. But Anunoby's defense really didn't impact this game all that much. You know, Siakam was getting to the basket. I mean, Naismith was attacking the basket. Nembhard was getting to the basket. Like, whoever he was on, they were closing out threes. But ultimately, he wasn't shutting anybody down. Until that fourth quarter, that transition where he had those three or four plays back-to-back where he got his hands on a ball for a tip. He had the steal that led to the dunk transition. His defense for about a 3 or 4 minute stretch where he wasn't shutting down someone. He was just in the passing lanes. He was disruptive. And he created a problem for them just as the Knicks were trying to come back from that deficit and get back into the game in the fourth quarter. I thought it was key. And for someone who didn't impact the game all that much, other than his scoring offensively, he was trying to impact the game. Defensively, he wasn't someone who was shutting down anybody. The Pacers were getting their shots. The Pacers were getting to the basket. The Pacers were running the game they wanted to run. The Knicks were playing catch-up almost the entire game. And yet, what does this team do? Like I just said, Anunoby, whose defense wasn't really an impact all game, in the clutch moments, there it is. When Brunson scores early, kind of goes, you know, gets some time on the bench, doesn't have an enormous second and third quarter. They're down 9 in the fourth. What happens? 21 points. For a time, it felt like the Pacers were doing a great job rebounding. And then in the big moments, Josh Hart gets the offensive rebounds. This team is the epitome of finding a way. I mean, literally, I mean, I know we talk about it and it gets tiresome, but this is exactly who they are. This is exactly who they are. No matter how it's going, in the fourth quarter, in the clutch moments, the Knicks will make the plays. DiVincenzo will hit that three. DiVincenzo will make the big basket. Hart will make the big pass. Anunoby will make the big defensive play. Hartenstein's floater will fall. Like, that's just what's going to happen. But I'm concerned about a lot of the stuff I saw. But ultimately, my point is, this is as good as they can play. I don't know if the Pacers... Now, we forget everything else heading into the series. Forget whether you wanted this matchup as opposed to Philadelphia. Forget they're the sixth seed. Forget the fact how, you know, their defensive numbers throughout the year. This team is legit. This is going to be a tough series. Throw it all out. But I don't know how much better of the play the Pacers can get, especially in this building for this long a stretch where, I mean, yeah, I know I was just poo-pooing the bench points, but only because the differential, because the Knicks don't play their bench. So it was like, yeah, obviously. But, I mean, they have Toppin, who we know here very well. He hit shots. He's going to the basket. He's giving you the through-the-legs dunk, which I was hoping he would miss it so bad just to embarrass him. I mean, T.J. McConnell is a winning, pesky, like, player, too. I mean, they were getting to the basket and making layups. The Knicks were getting to the basket, creating contact, and if they didn't get to the line, those foul shots were rimming out. Those layups were rimming out. Those layups weren't going in. The Pacers were going strong to the hoop and getting their layups, including McConnell. I mean, he did an incredible job with his ability to, I mean, he only took one three-pointer, But and it was that ugly one that went off that as time expired on the shot clock that went off the backboard. But I mean, his ability to get to the basket and create points, he scores 18 points in this game. Obi Toppin scores 12 points in this game, hits a couple threes, has the dunk, creates energy for them. They're a deeper team than the New York Knicks. There is no doubt about it. At the beginning of all this, we talked about the Knicks and their role players and their depth. You know, right now they're coming up against a team that is far deeper, has far more options off the bench, has multiple guys who can come in and spell Haliburton, who I don't think is healthy. He just doesn't look the same player he was at the beginning of the year. They don't have to everybody play 45 minutes like the Knicks do. But down the stretch, they do what they do. And now let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the end of the game, where obviously Jalen Brunson takes over. He makes the pass to DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo hits the three. And then obviously the couple big plays. Now, one, you saw it. Let me just say something here about Tibbs, because he's going to get a lot of flack about how much he plays, guys. We're going to talk about whether or not it's feasible to play all the minutes throughout a seven-game series. But he has got to come up with a way, because they are athletic, they are fast, and they are long. He has got to come up with a certain amount of outside out of bounds plays or something, because far too much in this game down the stretch, they're lucky they got away with the idea that they couldn't inbound the basketball. And when they did, one of Jalen Brunson's issues is his height, and they would double team him with length, and he didn't know what to do. You got the ball that, you know, thankfully they still had a review to challenge the ball dribbled off his foot. Then obviously the play right on the side out of bounds where he tries to throw it off Haliburton. It bounces off of him as he's standing out of bounds. Like, you can't have him in a corner like that with nowhere to go, nowhere to see above the athleticism of the Pacers. They've got to come up. It is too freaking hard. The Pacers have made it too hard to inbound the ball. The Pacers have made it too hard to get the ball into the half court. Like, they are not giving the Knicks an inch. They have got to come up with creative ways to make it a little bit easier to get the ball into their offense via either side on the side out of bounds plays or even just taking the ball off a made basket. It was difficult. Everything was difficult with this team. And that leads, obviously, the ball off of Haliburton and off off Brunson. Leads to the play that everybody's going to go nuts on. Now, look, is it a foul? I don't think anyone would argue, if you're being fair, that technically, by the law, it is a foul ball. It is a foul ball. Jeez. It is a foul. It is a foul. He is not moving. It's a foul. Is it a call they shouldn't make? Of course it's a call they shouldn't make. We all know that. Watch the games. There's a million of them. There's bad calls throughout the game. I am not going to apologize as a Knicks fan, nor should the Knicks, about that foul call. That is part of it, is selling the foul. That's the NBA. The amount of crybabies on Twitter complaining about that foul, like as if the Knicks stole this game. The Pacers had ample opportunity to win this game. They're up 9 points late in this game. They're having their way with it. It's nobody's fault but the Pacers. They lost this game. And by the way, when the foul happens, they're down 1 point. This is not a call that gives the Knicks the ball, you know, and then the Knicks hit a basket to take the lead. The Knicks had the lead. I understand the call is unusual. It's a foul. It's one thing, and then it's looked at because they had the challenge, and even the it's confirmed that it is a foul. So now we're complaining on whether or not you call that foul in that moment. Too bad. You think people are out there looking? You think the Knicks are getting the benefit of the call left and right? Please, have you watched the Knicks for the last 30 years? Would I be complaining about the foul if it went the other way? Of course I would be. And every single Pacer fan or Knick hater would be like, ah, shut up. This is how it works. When the call goes against you, you're not happy. When it goes for you, hey, it was a foul. And it was. And then the another huge play in this game is the foul before the inbound to give Brunson the foul shot that puts them up four, which pretty much seals the, well, puts them up two with the ability to make it a four with the next two foul shots after the next inbound and foul. That is an enormous play to tug him and spin him before the ball is inbound to give the Knicks a free point. The Pacers did this to themselves. The Pacers choked this game away. The Pacers got sloppy with the basketball. The Pacers allowed DiVincenzo to hit the shot. The Pacers allowed Jalen Brunson to get to the rim. The Pacers threw this game away. And the Knicks were there to pick it up like they always are. But I don't know how much more I can take about this. I don't know how much more games like this I can handle. I mean, it is just a night. This is, it's crazy. And this Pacers team, they are long. They are athletic. They can get to the paint, and they're deep. This is going to be a fun series. We are going to see more games like this. And Tibbs is going to have to find a way. Now, I know there's nobody else on the bench. Right? That's the problem. Because when you say, oh, you know, you got to go to the bench more. This isn't feasible. You can't continue to play Ananobi 42. You can't continue to play Brunson 44. Hart can't play every minute of every game. DiVincenzo 44. You look at it and you get a Chua for 4 minutes, you get Robinson for 12, you get McBride for 11. That's it. That's it. There is not a ninth player to play. You want to go to Burks? You can give more minutes to McBride. You can give more minutes to Robinson. But if McBride is going to come in, here's the thing. If McBride's going to come in a tight game for Jalen Brunson, and he's going to miss the first two three-pointers he takes, I don't know how long of a leash you can give as you could possibly watch that game slip away. Tibbs is out to win every game. He's played these guys like this all year long. Over the course of a seven-game series, he probably has to find his and pick his spot to give a little bit of a break to these guys, a little bit of time to Hart, a little bit of time to Brunson. But ultimately, this is what you're going to see. You're going to live by the sword. You're going to die by the sword. Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, this is the team. The Villanova three is the team. Now, if McBride comes in and hits his first two three-pointers, he's got more time. These games are nip and tuck. I thought heading into the series, and I remember me and Fliegelman talked about it as I was walking out the door yesterday, that, hey, you know, there's no way we're going to get another series like we got against Philadelphia. That's one of the all-time first-round series. There is no way we are going to see another high-intensity every game come down to the wire like we did in that first series. And you know what? This is the only way the Knicks know how to play. I'm telling you, if the Knicks were up 15 with 5 minutes left, they would blow it to be up three with 30 seconds left. That's how it's going to work. So prepare yourself. 877-337-6666. And then, of course, we got the Rangers tonight. Let's go. This is, how much fun is this? As long as they keep winning. And that's what it's going to be about the bench, too. No one's going to care. I'm certainly not. I just poo-pooed it. I'm not going to care that the bench was outscored 46-3 as long as they win. If they lose, it's going to be a major talking point. And if they lose down the stretch of these games where they've been the better of it for most, if not all, barring Game 5 against Philadelphia, it's hard to complain. But if they have a fourth quarter where the Pacers outrun them and Brunson looks tired and they, you know, blow a game where they're up five with a minute left and they make mistakes and the Pacers look like the you know, team with a little bit better legs, this is going to become a major talking point. But as long as they win, everything is right with the world. Let's squeeze a call in before we go to break. Carmen and Linden, what's up, Carmen?
Wow, Big Mac.
What's up?
Here's what's up. I'll say it quick. You know, you had a couple of calls where they talked about culture. I saw what Brunson did with Jay Wright. Jay, if you ask Jay Wright if he's really surprised, he'd tell you no, what Brunson is doing. Okay? He is a culture changer. And anybody that would get angry because Tibbs isn't playing the bench people, he played eight. He was playing a rotation of seven. He is a winning coach.
Yeah, but his eighth.
Brunson's a winning.
No, yeah, I understand.
Let me just finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just finish one point, and then I'll stop. The final thing I want to say, and it's a little bit prejudiced, but I think it's a first. Have you ever seen, and I've been watching basketball since I'm five. I'm 75 years old. Mm-hmm. 70 years. I didn't know much when I was watching it at five.
Yeah, I mean, at 75, if you remember the games you watched when you were five, bravo, sir. Because I don't remember.
Well, I'll tell you something. I remember watching Bob Cousy shoot the set shot, and I thought Embiid was bringing back the set shot of Bob Cousy with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just say this. I have never seen, and I'm a gigantic New York Knicks fan. Like I said, I'm so proud. I have never seen three guys from the same team be the three, like you call them, the big three of Villanova.
Yeah.
I don't know if this has ever happened before, but you know who his godfather is, right? Do you know who Brunson's godfather is?
I feel like I should that it's been a talking point,
Rose.
But I forget.
Rose is his godfather. Didn't you see him give him a?
Oh, Leon hug? Rose, right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, listen, I don't know. We don't have to talk about godfathers. That doesn't matter. It's part of the reason he's here, I guess. But, I mean, he's been incredible. He was incredible in this game. He's incredible in the fourth quarter. He's been as great as you could possibly ask him to be. He's done everything. And they need him to get all these points. They need him to score 43. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, he's got to do this. And if he's got to do it to beat the Pacers, I mean, without looking to, I mean, it's hard to envision him doing it forever, but you know what? He's continued to surprise us and shock us, but he was great in this game. To score 43 with one three-pointer, he got to the line 14 times, he had all 14, and that'll show you how dangerous he could be, but his ability to get to the paint, his ability to shoot from almost any angle off the glass, on the run, doesn't matter. And then his ability inside the paint to create space when he picks up his dribble guarded by a defender 4 inches taller than him and yet still be able to create enough space to get a shot up. And what he's doing right now, you know, I was listening in the car a little bit to the post game. I mean, he's doing things, four straight games with 35 five assists and five rebounds. It's LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Oscar Robinson, Jalen Brunson. I mean, think of those names. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Oscar Robinson. And Jalen Brunson. That's what he's done. That's what he's become. That's what he's doing. But to me, the overall takeover is, for this game one, is the same I felt after game one against Philadelphia. If the Pacers, if Indiana can't win this game, what game can they win? The Knicks have things to change. The Knicks have to improve. And I think they will. The Pacers had the better of that play for most of that game, and still the gritty, tough, make the right play in the big moment Knicks, get the big rebound, hit the big three. Yes, take the big foul. Figure out a way to win even when you're being outplayed. Knicks showed up again. And if Pacers can't win that one, what can they do? 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you. Half hour down. 4.5 left to go. Plenty of your calls. We'll have the Rangers to get into as well as we preview game two tonight. Knicks, Rangers, Knicks, Rangers. It's a garden party. I can't tell you how pumped I am right now. Every night's a big playoff game. This is so much fun. These Knicks are incredibly fun.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:37, McMonagle here with you. All right. Let's take some calls first, and then we'll go into maybe next segment or after some calls, because I want to get to you guys, get to enjoy this Knick victory. But I know what the talking point's going to be. I'm getting a bunch of people sending me tweets, all the Knick haters out there, about the different calls in the last couple minutes that went against the Pacers. So we'll get to all the different things that happened. And there's one, as me and Fleece were just talking about it off air, there's one that is particularly bad that, yeah, the Knicks caught a break. It happens. But we'll go through all the different calls down the stretch of this game. But let's get to some calls. Let's get to some phone calls first. Joe in Las Vegas. What's up, Joe?
Chris, how you doing?
Good, Joseph. How we doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, first time calling into your show, but I listen every single night.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you for listening.
So you're welcome. Yeah, listen. I usually listen to Keith first, and then obviously it goes right into you.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are the best. I mean, I listen to the fan all day, all night. But you two are my favorite. But yeah, thanks. I wanted to talk about the Knicks, and you've made some really good points that I agree with. A, Halliburton does not look good.
No.
In a way, he's almost given off Embiid vibes, even though Embiid is like visibly hurt.
Yeah, it's not as much that. Listen, no, I mean, down the stretch of the game, you know, he makes the defense. You know, he was playing tough defense. He moves okay. His offensive game is just not the same.
No, he's not scoring. He's kind of a dud on offense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because, and then you look at the Knicks, like, you had foul trouble here, foul trouble there. Mitchell Robinson didn't know what he was doing. I mean, Brunson threw him a pass, and did you see that? He just looked away. It was strange. And
Brunson threw Mitchell Robinson a pass, and he wasn't?
Yes. Yeah, Mitchell Robinson was just not paying attention. I don't know if they'll see the highlight anywhere.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I thought it was kind of on. It almost hit him in the back, right? He was like turned the opposite way.
He turned away when it looked like Brunson was throwing it to him. It was very strange, and he just looked discombobulated. He got a bunch of fouls really fast. Hardenstein had fouls. I mean, Achiuwa didn't look good. McBride didn't look good, and. I think you hit it on the head before when you said basically, this is the worst I think the Pacers are going to see from the Knicks.
I think it's the biggest disparity. I can't imagine a bigger disparity of the better play going in the favor of the Pacers. I thought the Pacers were the better team tonight. Honestly, I thought for most of the game they were the better team. And still the Knicks prevail in the big moments. Like it's got to be demoralizing. And let's be fair. I thought the same thing after game one and of the last series, and Philadelphia came out and got even more of the advantage. And it took a miracle for the Knicks to win game two.
Yep.
But it just feels like in that building, if you give
it's
them
happening.
A chance, if you are not up 15, 16 points with 2 minutes left, the Knicks are going to find a way to beat you. Like, that's just what it feels like right now.
Dante hasn't missed a big three. He just hits that at the end of the game every time.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Every game.
Yeah, I mean, it's either him or Brunson or Anunoby or whomever. Hart hits the big shot. Obviously, that wins the series against Philadelphia. Everyone, whoever steps in, and thank you for the call, Joe. Whatever they need to do to get the win, they will do it. They'll make the big play. It's remarkable. And you can complain about calls, and again, we'll get to them. You can complain about different things that went against the Pacers. The Knicks took this game and made the big plays down the stretch. The Knicks did. And you can say, oh, well, it's because of this, it's because of that. There's always situations. But man, oh man, all Hart and his offensive rebounding, every single big play they make, it's crazy. Duncan in Union, what's up, Duncan?
What's going on, Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Well. I'm tremendous, man. Thank you for asking. I didn't know you had such a long commute, man.
I do. It took me about an hour and 25 today.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I bid you safe travels, man.
Thank you.
Every time you have to take it. But my call is about... Thibodeau and how the Knicks are playing above him being such a bad coach. Like, explain to me how the Knicks were not ready They couldn't inbound the ball. They weren't ready for a full court trap. They couldn't work that out. Like, this is an NBA team that can't figure out a full court trap. An NBA team that can't guard the pick and roll. And I think T.J. McConnell just got another layup.
Yep, that's fair.
He's a career 7.5 point scorer, and he has 12 points at halftime. We can't. And the thing about it, that has me so upset is like their game plan is to not guard Brunson because they can't guard him. So they're like, let's tire him out. Let's make him play both ends of the floor. But they're running T.J. McConnell at him. That's why he's scoring so easy. They're just running him right at him, and he's getting layups at layup after layup. I don't understand it. And how can we not defend the pick and roll? They run the same play every time. High screen and roll, high screen and roll.
I mean, almost everybody does. Isn't that what Philadelphia was running it too?
Philadelphia ran it, and we found a way to defend it. We defended it. Mm-hmm. We can't defend the pick and roll. If we go under the screen, then they shoot the three. If we fight through the screen, then the screener rolls to the basket for a layup. And we can't defend it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I don't know.
Again, this is the highest scoring team in the NBA. They scored 117. They hit 10 three-pointers. They shot it at just under 40% clip. I don't know. Like, yeah, McConnell got to the basket at will. You're 100% right. But you know what? So did a lot of, like, Maxey got to. I know Maxey and McConnell are two different kinds of players. But they had guys. They have Turner who can shoot. They left him open a bit too much. But I thought the defense turned up a little bit in the clutch moments. I didn't look at this and go, oh, my God, how can they not defend the pick and roll? I didn't think it was that. I mean, they're going to score points. That's just they had a couple of matchup mismatches where they had Turner on a smaller defender and a quick basket at the easy layup down in the paint. But how many paint points did the Knicks get? I mean, you want to talk about defenders too? That. I mean, Hart's not much of a scorer. Hart hits 1-3 and scores 24 points.
I'll concede the pick and roll. I'll give you that because they're all designed to create mismatches.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. But tell me why we can't inbound the ball.
Problem.
Why can't we
inbound the
ball?
Side out of bounds play especially. The inbound and the full court press.
Out of a timeout.
100% correct.
Timeout, he draws up a play and we can't inbound the ball.
Yep.
I don't understand that.
No, I agree with you.
That's crazy to me. And McConnell, T.J. McConnell scoring, I have problems with that. Now, I will say this in the Knicks' favor. That was the Pacers' best punch. Like, they were right with us offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding. They got steals. They don't play defense. They have this D'Antoni mentality. They take the ball right out of the net, and they run it up the court.
Correct.
They play defense. This is the best game that they've played all season. And it was probably one of the worst that the Knicks played. And if you want to say those calls bailed us out, whatever, I couldn't care less. I just want the W. But we have to do better. We have to do better inbounding the ball. Like, we can't play offense if we don't inbound the ball.
100.
Why can't we inbound the ball?
No, and you're right, off a timeout. The full court press one doesn't bother me as much because they're just putting pressure on the inbounder and then it's a fight to 10. I never felt like it was an issue getting up the court other than it just was difficult. But the side out of bounds plays off the timeout where you can't get the ball in and it leads to Brunson turnovers and being double teamed with the length, like that's the problem. And listen, and Brunson on that, a couple times Brunson dribbled to the sideline, like why are you dribbling to that and creating another defender with the out of bounds? Like, I thought he made a couple of boneheaded decisions bringing the ball up the court and out of those side out of bounds plays. But you're 100% right. Off the timeout, they should have some kind of play. I didn't see picks. I didn't see anything other than just hoping your foot speed creates some space, throw it to him, trying to get the ball to Jalen Brunson. Like, there was no picks. There was no play. There was nothing. Tibbs has got to come up with some ways because I'll tell you right now, I agree it's their best punch, but they do create problems for this Knicks team. And that's what their length and athleticism is a problem. And if you're going to just, if all it is get the ball into Jalen Brunson, offside out of bounds or whatever, he gets double teamed. He can't see. It happened two or three times down the stretch of this game. He gets double teamed. He can't see. And it led to turnovers. So they're going to have to figure out a way. There's no doubt about it. They're going to have to figure out a way to be better with side out of bounds plays and to be better getting the ball in, getting inbounding the ball. 100%. The guarding of the pick and roll, it didn't jump out to me as a major problem. I mean, they were switching okay. Occasionally it led to that. I mean, that's the whole creation of the pick and roll, is it leads to, if you can't fight through the pick and you have to make a switch, it leads to some mismatches. And I don't think it killed them, you know, that much. I think your point, Duncan, about McConnell getting to the basket, attacking Jalen Brunson, whose specialty is not defending, is much more of a problem. If they are going to attack Jalen Brunson, if they're going to use those pick and rolls to create a little bit of a mismatch or put McConnell or someone who's looking to get to the basket on Brunson and just attack Brunson off the dribble, you're going to have to come up with a way to be a little bit better of a rim protector. You're going to have to do something, because McConnell was getting to the basket and getting easy layups. That is 100% accurate. But at the same time, like, I think now that they've got their feet wet in the series, like, it was game one of the series. The Knicks were coming off this incredibly hard fought. Every game was drag them out, knock them out, much like this game was. And they were coming off a series where, you know, they played a completely depleted Bucks team, and in the games they won, you know, had their way, including game six, where they outscored by, you know, it was a laugher. And they came out and made the decision they were going to push the tempo and take it right to the Knicks, and the Knicks got punched in the mouth for a lot of the game, and I don't think that punch is coming again. This was their best chance to win a game, certainly in this building. We'll see what happens in game two. Anything could happen. But I just feel like that was as good as they could play. And they got the Knicks off guard without having to play them yet. Took the momentum and their speed and their athleticism and shoved it right down their throat. But now the Knicks have had a chance to play with it. The Knicks have had a chance to see how it works. The Knicks have got into this series a little bit, moved on from Philadelphia, pulled a squeaker out, do what they do, have the uber confidence that no matter the situation, they'll pull out a victory in the end. But they'll have time. They'll look at film and they'll have a day to adjust to what the Pacers did in game one. This was their chance to steal a game at the Garden, and they blew it. And I just feel like I feel the same way I felt after game one against Philadelphia. If they weren't going to win that one, they're not going to win it. This is a, while there are many things to look at and point to about how the advantage went to the Pacers, to me, it's still a very, very reassuring victory that this Knicks team can recover from anything, that this was as good a punch as they're going to take, as Duncan said. He's 100% right. And if they're not going to lose this game, I don't think they're going to lose the series. Ron in Astoria. What's up, Ron?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Hey, it's nice to talk to you, because I called you last week sometime after the Knicks game, and I got cut off. But anyway,
Ron. We'll try and do better this time. What do you got?
No problem. I just want to talk to you about the Knicks. I mean, I think they're doing a great job, but this coach has to do something more than what he's doing, man, with these guys on the bench. At least this guy that shoots very well. I forgot his name. Max something's his name? McBride or something like
McBride.
That?
McBride. Deuce McBride, yeah.
Yeah, he shoots well. Why you don't give this guy a little playing time? I don't understand it.
Well, because, you know, typically they don't play it much with him and Brunson on the floor at the same time. He comes in and he misses his first two shots of this game, and there's a short leash. You're not wrong, though. I mean, you're not wrong, Ron, and thank you for the call. I don't disagree with you. I think a lot of people are going to start to clamor for this bench to play more, and I don't think you can play more people. I don't think the rotation goes more than eight deep. I think you're looking at Achiuwa, Robinson, and McBride. That's the bench. You're not going to play Burks. You're not going to play Sims, barring an injury. That's it. That's the bench. So you can give Achiuwa more minutes. You can give McBride more minutes. Clearly, Mitch Robinson and McBride have both played more minutes than 12 and 11, respectively, so far in the playoffs. But they're trying to keep up scoring-wise, and McBride misses two first shots. I'm not saying that's fair, but, I mean, that's how it is for the bench. You got to come in, and right away, or you're going to have a short leash with Tibbs. And here's the thing overall. We can go, like, I don't know if it's sustainable. And I don't know how he's going to have to adjust. But here's what I'll tell you. They're winning. They just won the last series. Again, you could say whatever you want about that Philadelphia team. They're talented. And if that team was healthy, now, I do think we're talking about a guy, a player in Embiid who wasn't perfectly healthy, but he was out there. And they had won eight or nine games heading into that series, if you include the play-in game. I mean, that's a team that would have been the three. That's a team that's a top three team in the Eastern Conference. And the Knicks beat them in six. They're winning. I don't know how long it's sustainable, but as long as they're winning, and you look at what this team has done, and look at the players without Randle, and look at what Jalen Brunson's had to do, and look at everything this team has done, and how they play down the stretch, and how mentally tough they are, and how physically ready they are at the end of these games, it's hard to kill the coach right now. We can complain about side out of bounds plays, rightfully so. We can complain about a couple of busted coverages, or you know, to use a football term, but a couple of busted plays where they got easy baskets off the pick and roll, and a couple of mismatches, and the length and size of the Pacers is going to be a problem that he'll have to adjust to. All fair, but ultimately, Duncan calls him a lousy coach. I got another call saying he doesn't understand why we're not doing more of this. Here's what I don't understand: how do they keep winning? How do they keep winning? And as long as I don't have to ask the question of how do they keep losing, I'm going to have a hard time killing the coach. We could talk about some differences that need to be made, and we could talk about, but I mean, how the hell is he not doing this? I don't understand why he's not doing that. They keep winning despite this terrible coach. Okay. Despite him all the way to the NBA Finals. He's been doing a tremendous job. Despite some obvious and certainly fair criticisms, he's doing an incredible job. They've played seven playoff games. Every one of them comes down to the wire, and they've gotten the better on five of them. They took a one-game-to-none lead in this semi-Eastern Finals playoff series against a team that probably played better than they did, and yet they found a way to do it. So I have a tough time killing anybody, certainly the coach. 12:55, McMonagle with you. 1 hour down, four more to go. 877-337-6666. Continue to take your phone calls. We got to go through all the different calls that everybody's bitching about. Let's go take a look. Let's do a deep dive on some of the calls over the last few minutes and see what everybody's crying about. All the Knick haters out there, all the, I guess, the Pacer fans, I don't know. Everybody bitching and complaining about all the calls that went against the Knicks when all they do is hit the big shots, make the big plays.